My message for this morning was entitled, From God's Viewpoint. I think so often we feel that we have no other way to see a thing. We look at things the way they look, instead of seeing them the way they really are. So much of our information is based on the way things seem to appear, when God tells us, look past them. There's something more. And we can look at things. We can look at our lives. We can look at situations. We can observe, when we read the Word of God, how God sees things, how they look from His viewpoint, through His eyes. It seems that so much of the time we are concerned with really how we look to people, how a thing is going to look to them, how it's going to be accepted, whether it's favorable or not. And this is good. God doesn't want us to in defiance, hurt people. But He doesn't want that to have our top priority. He wants our top priority to be, how does this look to God? How does it sit with Him? Now today, in this message, we're going to look at two or three things from God's viewpoint. And I trust that God will give us an answer, not only for our own hearts, but for people who may be disturbed and hurt in other ways. It's my intention this morning not merely to draw attention to the evils about us. I know it's possible for us to become so sin-conscious, so problem-conscious, that we're not God-conscious, cannot see Him. But I want to make us aware this morning of a problem, and then turn our eyes to the great problem solver, the King of all the earth. There is a tape with a message on it, or several tapes circulating through the country. Tapes that are magnifying the work of the enemy. Some of you may have received them. When I first heard of them, I didn't feel it would be necessary to bring this message, because I felt that people, especially believers, would have the spiritual defenses up to the point where it wouldn't trouble them. But I have discovered that people need to know, and that with the sinister attacks of the enemy, often comes a spirit of delusion. And people, the truth is hidden in the fog, and the deception of the enemy. It comes to them and they believe a lie. There are many different attempts that Satan has made to hurt God and to destroy his work. And by reason of these lies and this deception, the way of truth is evil spoken of. These are quotations right from the Word of God I'm giving you. This tape has been circulated by many people, but it was given by a man by the name of John Todd. John Todd claims to have been a witch, and I wouldn't discount his claims. Now, at this point, I'm not going to go into a lot of the things that are supported there, because I don't feel like dignifying these statements, but I will say this, that it has caused great devastation in the lives of many people and has led them into fear. The Lord has helped me by the liberating truth to deliver these people that have come to me from fear. But I see this happening in various parts of the country. On Monday, the former youth pastor of this church, Jack Becker, was in California, visited a very fine charismatic church in the Bay Area. And the pastor was literally heartsick because of something that happened in his church through his people listening to this tape. And the messages, as it penetrated their minds, led from one thing to another until a repetition of the Jim Jones story is taking place. Because the enemy, when he comes with his deception, often brings a smokescreen and hides the truth and hides the warning. It hides good sense. And these people are buying weapons now. They have bought a piece of property in Montana, and they're planning on building some type of a commune there, similar to the one in Guyana. 200 people from this one church, and many other groups of people from other churches are embracing this wholeheartedly and will be joining forces with them. I have here a paper published by another group that, through listening to this, has bought a large camp ground in, I believe it's in Michigan, where they're doing the same thing. Yes, right. The reason why they're storing up these guns, these weapons, they're gathering together all the food that they can, also because the fear, the message that is being brought, is that witches are taking over the country and own all of the chain stores and other things. And so they're getting what food they can. They're planning on raising what they can in these places. But they have the weapons so that if they happen to be overrun or attacked by these satanically controlled witches, they'll have the weapons to shoot the witches with. Sounds foolish. It would almost sound humorous if it wasn't so serious. This thing is not going to go very far. I want you to know this. I have some inside information that it's going to be short-lived and going to go very far. But the reason I'm giving this message this morning is there are going to be some people hurt by this that we can keep from being hurt if they know about it. And I wanted to put this message on tape this morning, and I want this tape to go out to everybody that you know of that has this other tape, this other message, because what I'm going to give you is spirit-directed from God's heart that will remove fear and restore faith, and it's got to get out. It's got to get out. I want you to keep this in mind when you hear this message. I want you to be sure and get that order. We're going to send the master to our duplicator as soon as we can, and going to have hundreds of these tapes so we can put them out. In different sections of California, it is rampant. I found out that in the Ontario Vale Nissa area, also, it is really getting a hold of people. And to the point where there is nothing that you can look at that is not demonic, some way related to demons. I'm going to come back to this in just a moment, but I want to give you something else first. From if you have your Bibles, I'd like to have you turn to Psalms 24. I'd like to have you hold your Bibles open to this after we finish reading, because there's some things we'll be coming back to, but listen as we read. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein, for he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in the holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from God, the God of his salvation. Notice this again. And if you would like to underline this little line here, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now, this is very important to know, that your righteousness doesn't come from inside of you. It doesn't come from your efforts. It doesn't come from your accomplishments. It's something, a free gift that Jesus purchased for you, gave to us, his righteousness. Okay, let us read on. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Let's read a little bit from 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all of the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Underline this also. It's very important. God revealing his nature to you. Remember those mercies, loving kindnesses, they've ever been. They're part of God's nature that he cannot remove. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor the transgressions, my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. Don't you like that? Hallelujah. This reminds me of that book the Lord showed me of Abraham, and Sarah's over there. And when I asked him where all of those other things were that were against them, God said he didn't record the failure. And David found this out. David had a chance to ascend and take a look at things over God's shoulder. He was looking at it from God's point of view. Praise God. Remember me according to your mercy. That mercy is that covering. For your goodness sake. O Lord, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All of the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease. I want you to underline this also. You don't have to be in an uproar and a torment all the time. His soul shall dwell at ease. His seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Would you like to know what his covenant is? His covenant is found over in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Beautiful covenant there. I'm going to read it to you right now. I'd like to turn in your Bibles to this spot. Hebrews 10, 16, and 17. He didn't go into a lot of words here, but he said an awful lot. Hallelujah. This is God's new covenant to us. 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That's God's covenant for you. That's his covenant. You read over here. He will show them his covenant. He's letting people know where they stand with him. Hallelujah. The messages that God has been bringing to me by supernatural messenger have been messages just along this line. This is so important to God because it's important to people and the work that God is doing. He wants them to know where they stand. I would like to ask this question because this question is implied very strongly on these tapes that I'm referring to that are going out. Who does the world belong to anyway? It's God's. The world belongs to God. Now, I realize that there's a little conjecture here. People say, well, wasn't Satan made the prince of this world? God let him live here. But God made this world for us to be inhabited. He very definitely spelled it all out, that he made this world. He created it, that it might be, that we might inhabit it. Way before he made the earth, he had planned who was going to live here. And that's you and me. This earth belongs to God. I don't care who would say Satan owns it. Satan, I'd like to say right here, Satan does not own 1 inch of real estate here. You can mark it down. He does not own 1 inch of real estate. But the great fear is that Satan owns this, and he's taking it over. Oh, he won't go very far. Don't worry about that. We don't want people to get hurt by him. But I want you to know that God is in control. Praise God forevermore. Do you know that Satan may control some parts of this earth? He may control some possessions and some wealth and some means of this earth, but he can only control what people have who are serving him. And he can control that through those people. But those people only have use of it for a little while. It's not really theirs. God owns this earth. God let David have such a beautiful insight here. Do you know that the Lord allowed David, he was one of those rare people in the Bible that God allowed to take up and to see God's whole plan. And he let David see his plan of grace and salvation, not by works, not by the law. In fact, if the religious leaders of that day were like the religious leaders of the day, they would have crucified David. He would have been branded the worst heretic there was, because he was talking about a salvation by grace. And he was living in a dispensation of law. But he found this beautiful grace, and he talked about it all of the time. So I want you to write that down someplace. Satan does not own one inch of real estate, and he has no power to create any. And we read about this great God. He's the king. He is mighty in battle. He's not going to lose any bouts with the enemy. God's view of the believer is so beautiful here. He lets us see not only a view of the world from his viewpoint. This world is his, and God knows what he's doing. He's in control, and he's not going to allow Satan to call his shots for him. God knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. And the believer from his viewpoint is cared for and loved and protected. I'd like to ask you the question, what do you have to do to merit God's love? Somebody said nothing. You agree with that? You think God loves people that don't love him? What would you have to do to get him to quit loving you? Totally reject him? Do you think that would cut off his love? You know that because you can't do anything to earn his love, you can't do anything to remove his love. Romans 8:35-39, Paul tried to spell it. Paul also had a chance to look at it from God's viewpoint. He said, I just can't tell you. His love is so deep, it's so broad, it's so high. And finally, he had to say, well, it passes human understanding. It passes all power of thought, all the ability that we have to understand. God's love goes beyond that. And the Apostle Paul, in talking about this, said that wars, famine, problems, things present, things to come, height, depth. And he said, I'm probably not naming some things that are going to happen down there in that 20th century. So he said, things to come, and then he said, well, I still might be missing something. So he said, any other creature, nothing can separate us from the love of God. You can close yourself out so that you aren't aware of it, and you're not receiving it. You're not taking what God is beaming down to you by your blindness, by not perceiving it, by not seeing it. But that love is there. And he tells us that he loved us. He loved us even when we were his enemies. Do you know that in the fifth chapter of Romans there, I just love that one there. That chapter, because it's so important and says so much. That he said sometimes for a good man, somebody would even dare to die. But God loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. While we were yet sinners. And then a verse or two later, he said, when we were his enemies, he loved us this much. So there's nothing. And I believe that Paul really said it all in Romans 8, 35 to 39, when he said, there's nothing that will separate you from the love of God. Why? Because you know what God's nature is? You read it in 1 John 4 and verses about 8 through 10. God is love. There are some people around, probably quite a few, that would say, hey, Pastor Buck has watered down the gospel and he's weakened it. He's talking about God being a God of love, and he ought to preach the wrath of God more instead of the love of God. And a few years ago, there have been people almost crucified for telling people what God was really like. And so they got frightened and they didn't do it. And you know, it took a lot more courage to tell people that God was a God of love than to tell them that he was a mean old man. Because the concept that so many people have of God is that he is that great ogre that walks around with that huge club with that big spike driven through the end, looking for somebody to make a mistake. And because heaven is so overcrowded, he's got to start eliminating people and throwing them away, looking for reasons to cut you off. But heaven is so big, and because God has it in his plans, and he wants you, and he loves you, and he has plenty of room for you, he's looking for every reason in the world to pull you in. And when he sent Jesus to die, he said he died not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. And he has enough covering for everybody. Everybody who put their faith in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what God is really like here. This is what God is like. This is your position in God's viewpoint. When he looks down at you because you have put your faith in what Jesus has done, he sees you looking just exactly like Jesus. Last Sunday morning, God let me have a glimpse of another aspect of that total, clear standing that we have with God. This must be very, very important to God to send these truths down. God, let me, as you remember, see this. Jesus as the high priest coming in with the filthy garments on, and the garments being removed and destroyed, the carrying the sins of the whole wide world. The Lord, let me see it another time. Jesus, the Lamb that was sacrificed there, and as he rose victorious, he rose with all power, the seven horns depicting. The horn standing for power, the seven, the completeness in God's program. So when Jesus came back to the earth after his resurrection, he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, and I'm with you always. Right here. Hallelujah. Satan, take that. All power in heaven and earth is given. All power in heaven and earth. All power. How much does that leave for Satan? He says, I am with you always. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is our position. The Lord, let me see this. Not only the covering, as we see in the mercy seat, how the Ten Commandments, the broken laws there, the laws against God were covered. But those nitty-gritty things that happen in everyday life, this is what he showed me last Sunday morning. And he showed me God pouring, Jesus anointing the book that was there. I didn't know what was in that book, but he gave me the references where they were, to read about it. But I saw him anointing, pouring the blood in heaven over a book. And so when I turned to these references, it said that Moses, when Moses anointed the book, And then I turned back to the references in Exodus that he gave me, Exodus 21 to 20 through 23, three chapters of them. There were all of the laws that had to do with normal everyday life. How you treat your neighbor, how you treat your wife, your family, and how you pay your bills, and a whole lot of other little nitty-gritty things that come up every day that people don't think that are not real sins against God, but they're mistakes and makes you feel so guilty and so on. God said, I'm even taking care of anything else that could stand in your way. So Jesus, when you get in there to that temple, that tabernacle in heaven, anoint the book, cover it up completely with your blood. That was his old covenant that came before the laws of Moses. He covered that too. I had some people telling me not too long ago, well, he covered those laws against God, but these other things are still intact. You still have to face them. They were based on, if you do this, I will do this. If you do this, I will do this. Each one, you do this, God, you can have my blessing. But nobody ever fulfilled those laws. But when Jesus came, he said he didn't come to destroy them. He came to fulfill them. He fulfilled them completely, and he put his blood over the top of them. Now, as God looks down at our lives, we're accepted. We're accepted. The blood is there. Hallelujah. We're identified with him. And though some of you men and husbands and wives may have had a scrap this morning over something, and you violated some of those laws in that covenant, don't worry about them. They're under that blood. Tell your wife to forgive you and go your way, because God doesn't have any record of it. Does that sound like false doctrine to you? This is something so important to God, because it evidently is a real problem to people in these days. God wants people to be free from fear and wants them to know that he has even taken care of those things. Hallelujah! That ought to make everybody shout. You know your sins are gone. How about these other things? He said he covered them too. And remember how he ties it all together? He said there were three things that would keep you from being accepted of God. One was sin. Another one was the fault. These are these human faults that he had listed there, and now he showed me where they were found. Oh, God, the whole plan just falls all together so beautifully. Hallelujah. He wants you to know they're all taken care of. Praise God. Well, this is you from God's viewpoint, from people's viewpoint. It's different. From your viewpoint, it's different. From God's viewpoint, he sees you just like Jesus. You are accepted in the beloved. It's God's plan. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to hurry along, or I'm not going to get to the part of this that I wanted you to send the tape out for. Of course, maybe some of these things wouldn't hurt people either. The third point is Satan from God's viewpoint. Satan from God's viewpoint. Do you know that Satan, even at his best, was not God? He thought he would like to be. But God said, oh, no, you don't. Cast him down. Satan, at his strongest, is not God. Satan is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere. He can not even know only by messages from demonic spirits that may be present, what's going on in different places. Satan has no power of creation. In fact, he is so helpless that the only real power that he would have would be as far as him, his ability to hurt you, would be what you allowed him in his deception. And through your fear, you could be hurting yourself, bringing yourself into a bondage, into a fear, until you could practically destroy yourself. And indirectly, Satan would be doing it. He still has power to do some things that he could do before. He has the power of an archangel. God didn't remove it from that part. From he could still create disturbances, still cause griefs and problems, and possibly. illness and the things that he does in many parts of the world where people have surrendered to him, he has the power of an angel, but he doesn't have the power of God. He doesn't have the power of God. So I want you to see right now what God had to say about Satan. Colossians 2. I'm going to read this from the Phillips translation, verse 13 through 15. You who were spiritually dead because of your sins, God has now made to share the very life of Christ. Remember what we were talking about? That's His life. He has forgiven you all of your sins. Christ has utterly wiped out the damning evidence of broken laws and commandments. That's what He has done. Which always hung over our heads and has completely annulled it by nailing it over His own head on the cross. Hallelujah. Those things you're afraid of are completely annulled. Listen now. And then, having drawn the sting out of all of the powers ranged against us, He exposed them, shattered, empty, and defeated in His final glorious triumphant act. Praise God. Yeah, I want the world to hear that one. Praise God. He exposed them, shattered, empty, and defeated by this great, glorious, triumphant act. Some might say, well, why then all of the evil? Satan plays on fear. He taps the resources of people's lives. He is a deceiver. He has deceived people down through the ages. Jesus said that He is a liar and the father of all lies. He said He cannot tell the truth. There's no truth in Him. This is His words. There's no truth in Him. Neither can He tell the truth. So somebody say, well, He can tell a little bit of truth. He can't. He can mix some facts in with His fantasies. But that's about the size of it. He even talked to Christ, you know, and told Christ some lies. But Christ, I'm glad, didn't believe Him, because He knew Him. You know what He told Christ? He said, if you'll bow down and worship Me, all the kingdoms of this world I'll give you, if you'll do it. Because He knew that Jesus came to save and to die for the world and find an easier way. The problem was, the world wasn't Satan's to give Him. And I realize that a lot of the books that you read, different types of commentaries and so on, will say, well, the world is Satan's by right. But it isn't. It isn't. He had a chance to live here, and He's caused a big stink around here. But this world isn't His. It wasn't His. He was lying. Because he's a liar. The truth is not in Him. Why the evil? Satan is doing his level best to put out some false propaganda. Do you know how countries do when they're having a rough time in a battle or in a war? They try to let the people know how big and how strong they are. And how they're right on timetable in their work of conquering and so on. And the propaganda goes on. Look at how mighty we are. And we're doing this. And we're doing this. And we're doing this. And building up some webs of information and fantasy. And the enemy is Satan is doing this very thing. Do you know that Satan does not have a timetable? Because there is nothing that he is able to produce God has seen to that. All that Satan and the evil forces are doing are having annoying tactics against the church. There's nothing that they're shooting for. They know what the end is. You see, but once in a while, people will believe the lies, and he's able to take that person, and as they yield themselves to him, they become useful to Satan. And it could be in the form of witchcraft, could be in the form of spiritism or Satanism. They've sold themselves out to Satan, but the only ones that he can capture are those that, first of all, believe his lies. And then while they're with him, then he pours his lies into them. And he says, hey, look, we're pretty strong now. We've got this, and we own this, and we own this. The world is ours. And if we, just a little while now, I've got a year to, I'm planning on doing this, and the next year that, and 4 years from now, I plan to have a takeover of this section, and then a little farther down, I'm going to take over this, and you watch, in a little while, I'll have the world back, and we'll all be in pretty good shape here. And so he feeds them these lies, and these people that have fallen for his eyes their eyes are big, and they're taking him. Oh, he's sure is strong, and he's even pretty good. He's helping people and so on, and doing some things. In fact, he can even quote a few scriptures. And there are people that are really swallowing these lies. Now, what's happened with this John Todd? He believed Satan's lies, and he got into witchcraft. Then he decided he was going the wrong way. And so he turned his life over to the Lord. And I will not question this, because I don't know the man. But if he said he turned his life over to the Lord, I'm going to let him. That's his story. I'm not going to question it. But what I do question is this. And what I want you to know is this. That the information that he learned from Satan is the kind of information that Satan puts together. It's his false propaganda. And Satan, if you could somehow open a little corner into that smoky, dark cavern of hell, look down in there, you'd see Satan sitting back there laughing his head off. He said, well, that guy's doing a whole lot more damage to the Lord than I ever could do. He's doing a lot more damage now that he's in the Lord's camp. Than he was when he was in our camp. And he's telling all these things. Some of the things that Satan has told him is, well, this world is ours. And we have this plan now. And Israel belonged to us. And we've got the nice scheme all worked out here. We've printed the plan. It's kind of a little code type of a thing on the money, so that all the money is mine. It's on the dollar bill. You see the pyramid. You see the capstone. All of this thing. That's all part of it. The eye you see printed. That's all part of Satan and so on. And so the Rothschild family, they're the capstone. And then the Council of Witches, they're the next layer. And then farther down as the base, there is the Jewish nation. Solomon got the whole thing started. The Star of David is the... One of the worst, what would I say, things that attract the enemy because it belongs to the enemy. And all of these things that you might see, people are going through their drawers, cleaning out things. They're taking their trousers that happen to be made, called hashed. We got some stars on them. They're taking them out on a pile and burning them. One young man, Tom Howell, with the Children of the Sun, said that one of the pastors who has believed this with all of his heart and in all honesty, but he told him, he said, you're having your records pressed to a certain company. He said that is owned by witches. It belongs to the devil. And when they press the master to make the records with, they press a demon into that record. And so that every record that is pressed on that has a little bit of a demon in it. And so that if you have 1,000 records in your house, you've got 1,000 demons inhabiting your house. This man believed it. How could a man well educated, how could a person in the right mind believe such a thing? Demons don't live in things. They're spirit. Satan couldn't use a bulldozer. He wouldn't know how to run it. He has no reason for things as far as this world are concerned. All he has is what people that serve him have. He can't own these things. He can only own what people own that serve him. And when people who own things live for God, then those things belong to God. If you have a pair of trousers with some stars on, you live for God, those trousers belong to God. Forget about how many stars are on them. Another thing, talking about owls, that owls are the biggest thing that witches just love. So what? They might love beefsteak, too. Doesn't mean that you could eat him. God owns this world. And those things that belong to you when you belong to God, I don't care who has used them in the past. They belong to God. Praise God. And the nonsense that Satan is putting out, it is a fantasy you just could hardly believe. Talking about Christmas trees. Semiramis, the mother of Tammuz, claimed that overnight an evergreen tree sprung up from a dead stump. The dead stump supposedly symbolized her dead husband, Nimrod. The new evergreen tree was the symbol that Nimrod had come to life again in the person of her virgin-born son, Tammuz. From this time on, the evergreen tree was worshipped. And so, don't have a Christmas tree. Don't let Satan call your shots. You want a Christmas tree? Take a Christmas tree in. Give every bulb, every bit of decoration to the Lord, and whatever you have belongs to Jesus. Lord, hallelujah. Praise God. Supposedly gifts were found under this green tree that sprang up, so that from time to time gifts are given on 25th in honor of the birth of Tammuz, the child god. So do not honor Satan by giving any gifts at Christmas time. Can you see how that because they receive not the truth, they believe a lie? This whole thing is this way. Holly and mistletoe are especially bad. I realize that they do cause some problems sometimes. Depending on who that person is serving, that may stand under it. Santa Claus is a false god and is depicted as living in the north. And that is where the Bible says that God is, from the sides of the north. So this is the god that lives in the north, see? He is depicted as being omnipresent by being everywhere at the same time by flying through the sky. Besides, it is a lie to tell children about something that is false. So people that are presenting all of those lies of the devil decide that it's a lie. Tell something that's false, but they're spending their time doing it. And just for your benefit, anything that God can use that will make you more God conscious, that'll turn your eyes toward God, don't knock it. Yeah, it is something that God can use in making people more aware of him. And if Santa Claus can help make his message to the world at Christmas time, peace on earth, goodwill toward man, if Santa Claus is owned by a bunch of people whom Satan owned, well, he's a bad guy. But if the idea of Santa Claus is owned by people who love God, well, he can be a servant of the Lord. So you just might paraphrase it to say it something like this. Santa, you're welcome in this place. Because these people love God. Just well have them converted. Jesus has drawn the sting out of all the powers ranged against us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sears and Roebuck, Safeways, Montgomery Ward, and Albertsons, all of these stores, some of this foolishness. If a store and a sign has an S on it, that S is a sign that it's controlled by witches. When I read that in here by somebody who seemed to have pretty good sense, I just couldn't believe it. She said she drove down the street and could hardly find a sign without an S on it. She said the whole world is going to pot. Satan has the whole thing because there's some signs with S's on them. We've got some S's on ours out here, too. Did you know that John Todd, in his message, giving these facts from Satan and Satan worship, says that the Melody Line Christian Center is run by witches? Were you there at the time when they named all those witches? Were you one of them? Rex Humbard's church and all of the charismatic churches are also run by satanic forces, which is this comes directly from Satan through this ex-witch. That we're all his workers. We've got a message for him, haven't we? We've got a message for him. You don't have to be afraid of him. You don't have to look over your shoulder at all. For Jesus told us what happened to him. And I'm going to bring this to a close by reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 19. Jesus tells us here how safe you really are. He tells you that you don't have to be afraid anymore. Listen to it. I'm reading it from the Phillips translation, but it's just as good in any translation you read it. The disciples came back from serving the Lord full of joy. Lord, they said, even evil spirits obey us when we use your name. There's the power of that name. Yes, returned Jesus, I was watching and saw Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. It is true that I have given you the power to not shiver in fear at his demons that may come around. It is true I have given you the power to step on snakes and scorpions or any kind of a demon spirit you was around. I have given you the power to tread on them. And then what did he say? And to overcome all of the enemy's power. Hallelujah. I have given you this power. Power over all of the enemy. Power to overcome all of the enemy's power. Then listen to the rest of it. You can add stars, owls, snakes, anything else you want to add into the things that they have, and they have a mighty long list, I want you to know. Listen to it here. There is nothing at all that can do you any harm. Hallelujah. We're going to draw this to a close here by just standing to our feet and lifting our hands toward heaven. And I want you to thank God for His care, for His concern. There may be some here who haven't found Jesus yet as your Savior. God brought you here so you could see what His plans are for you. His plans are to reconcile, that means to make peace, to restore you into fellowship with Him, and then to reunite you with Him in His home. That's God's plan for you. Three R's of the Christian: reconciliation, restoration, and reuniting. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands. Thank God today for His power and His love and His care for you. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the power that there is in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that the intensity and the force that we sense in this room today, as God Himself is saying amen to this message, I pray, God, that it will follow every one of these tapes, that the truth will liberate men and women who have been bound and taken captive by Satan at his will. Oh, God, may that power, may the power in the name of Jesus, may the power of the resurrected Christ accompany every one of these, dear Lord, bringing that liberation. And Lord, I pray that those that we may speak with this week, that we will speak with boldness and with force, because Jesus rules, our King reigns. Hallelujah. The Lord of hosts is His name. He's mighty in battle. Oh, hallelujah. He came to grips with the enemy and defeated him. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. With new meaning, new force, with new purpose, I want you to sing again, all hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel. Will you sing it right from the bottom of your heart, as you've never sung it before?
All hail.